So how do we get to that place where Jesus has authority over us? Well, I want to say it's because it's when we humble ourselves. See, we can't invite Jesus in if we're so full of ourselves, because we won't respond to anybody knocking at the door. We won't respond to him. It is only when we're humble, when well, this is how Matthew 5:3 puts it. So this is one of the Beatitudes. And I encourage you, read through the Beatitudes, because this is discipleship language. But this is from Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If we dig into that, it's rewritten a little bit like this. You're blessed when you're devoid of spiritual arrogance. Or you're blessed when you're humble, because then there is more room for God. Does that make sense? If we're so full of ourselves, there's no room for God to come in. But if there's less of us, there's room for God to come in and settle in our lives. So that's how it starts. We have to give Jesus authority. Now here's the challenge. It doesn't just say, we say a prayer and then it's all done. Every day, I need to say, Lord, you have rule in my life. Read Psalm 25:4-5. Teach me your ways. If we are not humble, God has no room to work. If we're so full of ourselves, God does not have room to do a work in our life. He wants to show us his ways. He wants to teach us. He wants us to grow. So the first thing is, we need to be humble every day with God. Second thing, where there's a hardening of our hearts, God's Spirit will do a work in us. Now, I got to tell you, it sounds so nice when you can say that. God will do a work in our lives. Friends, I can tell you this. If you've ever had an opportunity to plow soil, it can be a wonderful thing. But when you hit hard soil, it is such an unproductive moment, because it kind of just, that old plow or disc, they kind of just bounce along the top. They don't dig deep. It is hard work, and you got to go over it again and again and again. But slowly it softens. And once one of those plowshares just digs in, I tell you what, all of a sudden you start to see production happening. But it takes work. And God will do that work in our lives. But friends, see, this is why it's important for us to remember that he is for us and that we can trust him. Because often those times come, our hearts are softened through trials and tribulations. It is not by just saying, oh, make me receptive to your spirit. God's like, I've got to do work in your life. I've got to bring you to a place where you can really let me know that I'm digging into you. I am going to be here for you. And all those things that are making you hard, all those things that are you, where you just sort of set your back and you grit your teeth and say, you can have all of my life, Lord, except this, because I want payback. Never really have liked that person. I really don't want to change. I want to stay the same. God's like, no, we have to do a work. So I will do a work in you, for you, so that you can grow to know me, that your hearts will be softened so that you can know me. You know, as I was thinking of this, I thought of Israel as they entered into the wilderness. And here they are, a people who have been up till this point in time slaves, and they come into the wilderness and suddenly it's like they become entitled. But along the way, they're kind of like moaning and groaning like, oh, it was way better back in Egypt. They were slaves. They were dying. They were suffering. God had to do a work in their life to soften them so they could see that he was for them. So he says to them, I am going to give you bread every day. Every day. It's called manna. And you're going to go and collect that manna, and you can be assured that it will be there. But here's the rules. Only pick enough for that day. And you got to get up early in the morning, because they said something, I don't know how people know this, but there was something like dew, and it would be there in the morning. So they had to get up and collect it. But he said, don't collect. Don't worry. It'll be there tomorrow. But if you collect too much, it'll go bad. And you really won't see the blessing of it. And of course, some did what they were supposed to do, And they received the blessing of it, and their family was fed, and they were nourished, and they were cared for, and they were learning to trust God. Now, there were others that went out and they collected, well, if one bucket's good, I'm going to get two. I'm going to get ahead of this game. And it says, I wouldn't have wanted to have been in their houses when that stuff went bad, because it sounded like when it went bad, it went really bad. And it stunk and was rotten, and there were maggots in it. Ooh. So, whatever it is. But see, they were being blessed. Yeah, they got a little bit to eat, but the thing was they weren't learning to trust in God. And he knew that. He didn't quit feeding those people. He just said, okay, tomorrow it's going to be there. You can trust me. And then he did something amazing for them. But on the last day of the week, or the second last day of the week, I want you to go gather twice as much. Because on the Sabbath, on my day of rest that I'm going to give you, there's going to be nothing there. I mean, talk about throwing them for a loop. Well, do we take more? Because I took more last time. I went, you know, but it was this process of learning to trust and knowing that God was doing this work in their lives. But it wasn't about the food. It was about knowing that God was true to his word. He was doing a work in their hearts. He was loosening that hardened soil because they hadn't learned to trust anybody. As slaves, you didn't trust anybody. So he was taking that compact soil and slowly scratching away at it and doing the work. And what was the point? That the people of God, not just each individual, but them as a body of God, as if his children would come together and be soft. Third thing, where there's rocks, God's going to pick them out. Now, this in itself doesn't sound like much of a work, but as I was thinking about that, and as I was looking at that thing, that pile of rocks, I thought, you know, I mean, some of those early farmers would have said, I've got that field cleared, in the fall, it's all clean, there's no more rocks, and they go back in the spring, and it's like, who planted rocks here? Where did these come from? Because the soil's deep. But they new ones would just, bunk. Pop up. So how does that work? What is God saying here? What's Jesus saying to his disciples when he's bringing this to their attention? Well, I was thinking about, what are the things that God talks about in when he talks about there's going to be a harvest or there's going to be a produce, right? And I thought, well, the one thing he talks about is that we are, when we are followers of Jesus, when our hearts are turned to him, there is going to be fruit in our lives. We are going to become his fruit. Not fruits of the Spirit, it is the fruit of the Spirit. It's a singular. All these ones are singular, because I know people say, well, I'm good on seven of those, but the last two, I'm not really sure, and that's not my gifting. It's like, no. You don't get to pick and choose which ones. These are the fruit of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit. And what are the fruit? Well, it's just this: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'm going to throw another one in there. Forgiveness. Okay, it's not a fruit of the Spirit, but it's another attribute of God that we should be displaying for all around us. But this is where the rocks come from. When we find that we aren't living as fruit, that means there's something in the way, and I just want to say they're rocks. Something is getting in the way of those of that fruit being able to grow, and it's the rocks. And you might say, you know, you might start your day off thinking this is a great day. Look, it's wonderful. I love everybody. It's peaceful. And then you just, man, you walk out the door and your kid's got something in the middle of a piece of Lego in the hallway and you step on that. It can just change your day that fast. Suddenly the fruit goes out the window and you're looking for blood. No, not quite that bad. But you see what I'm saying? All of a sudden you think everything's good, and then all of a sudden this rock appears. Where you're supposed to have patience, you're judging. Where you're supposed to have love, I hate that guy. I hate her. And I got to tell you, it doesn't even take much. I know I've said this before. If you think you've got construction grief in Cochrane, that's peace. Go to Sundry. Every day we don't know which way to turn in that. I said to the other day somebody, if you can just get there, if there's a way to get there, just go there. because you don't know where the detours are anymore. It's changing all the time. They're fixing the infrastructure in the street, so it's just a moving construction zone. It's crazy. But I can tell you what, when somebody cuts you off or does something, it's amazing how that patience or how that love can just change. Where's your inner joy? Where's your inner joy when things don't go the way you want and you want to stamp your feet and get mad? How about your peace? The peace of God that passes all understanding. And you're shaking your hand at Him. What about your kindness? When somebody steps in front of you and you don't want to be kind, you just want to step in front of them and maybe catch them in the toe while you're doing it. You must think I'm a horrible guy. But I got to tell you, we are all subject to this. I'm thinking, there's no rocks in my life. And all it does is take one little thing and it's just this rock kind of goes, boom. And it's like, where did this come from? And it's at that time we have to stop and say to Jesus, okay, you have authority. I've given you authority in my life to do a work in my life. I need you to take this rock away because I don't want to be like that. I don't like it when I get resentful of my wife. I don't like it when she's resentful of me. It's like, ooh, and it's like, Lord. Or you know, anyway, I don't need, you get it, you get it. Self-control, right? I didn't get this keg by being in self-control, I can tell you that. Self-control. So friends, these rocks will show up in our lives. So rather than hide it or try to cover them over, let's give God the authority. Let's believe what we say and let Him do a work in our lives. Because when those things are picked out, what happens? The Word of God falls on deep soil, rich soil. And where people are expecting you to respond in anger, frustration, retribution, and in turn, you turn back and you love and you forgive and you care and you're kind and you're gentle, their world will be rocked. And I don't say that, but it's just you become a blessing to them. Now, they may not know what to do with that, and they may not treat it like a blessing. But I tell you what, God's doing a work in your life. That woman, that Samaritan woman, she went all the way back to her neighborhood and said, I have met the Master because He knows everything about me. Talk about the rocks in their world right there between her and her people. And yet she let it all go because God was working in her life and there was soil there to receive. We're getting to the end. Fourth one, where there's weeds, where there's weeds. Now, those thorns, it says, starts to grow up and then are soon choked out by the weeds. Well, friends, the best illustration of that, that's sin. If we don't deal with the sin in our lives, it will choke out God's moving in our lives. But there's a way that we can deal with it. It's called confession. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you hear what God is willing to do for us? And it begins by saying this, if we confess our sins. What's that like? That's like taking weeds. When we confess it, we dig them up. We get right down to the root. We don't hide it. We don't cut it off short. We get right down to the root. And then we expose it, not to the Son, but to our Lord and Savior, the Son. And the Son will kill that sin. And it will be removed from our hearts as far as the east is from the west. And there will be no seeds. That's what it means to grow as a disciple in Jesus. Recognizing that we need Him to do a work in our lives, so that our hearts are cultivated hearts. Now, I went back 158 years in that same region from where those first settlers were. There are beautiful fields there. They're gorgeous. They're smooth and they're cultivated and they're seeded and there's life. But friends, there's still rocks and there's still weeds and there is a work to be done. God will continue to do this work in our lives as long as we are here on this earth. Why? So that we more accurately reflect his glory. We bring glory to him. Those fields, I got to tell you, they brought glory to those farmers. Not just the ones that are presently doing it, but to the ones that first went there and started to hack away at trees and roots and right into the middle of that chaos. And they brought purpose and plan to it. They're a reflection of a history of men and women and families committed to the land. We are a reflection of what God can do in our lives. He's committed to us. Let us be committed to him. I just want to finish with one proverb. And I hope you can hold on to this. And it's one we all know. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. But in all your ways, means all your days, all your time, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. That's that relational, humility, authority, work, master, disciple, father, son, daughter. It's beautiful. So let's be committed to that. And let's continue to pray for one another, encourage one another, challenge one another as we walk. Where are we walking? Closer. Every day we're walking closer to our Lord. And let's bring along others along the way, so that they too can know his love. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. It's so powerful. And I thank you for your love, what you've done for us. Forgive us in those moments where we get full of ourselves. And when we are, Lord, just speak into our lives. Maybe knock a little louder and say, I'm still here. I'm still going to do this work. Because when there's less of us, there's more of you, more space for you to work. And Lord, be with my friends. Bless them. Bless them as they live out their lives for you. Bless them as they read their word. Bless them as they pray. Enrich their lives with the moving of your spirit. And may we be encouraged and strengthened in our day-to-day. And may we be resolved. To walk with you moment by moment. In your name we pray. Amen.